102.9 KBLX. Good morning. It's Sterling James, and it's time for KBLX Cares, where we shine the light on people and organizations who serve, empower, and enlighten you, our dear KBLX family. And today, we're shining the light on the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Organization. Please welcome the Executive Director of SF Suicide Prevention, Eve Meyer. Good morning, Eve. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at the programs that the Suicide Prevention Organization of San Francisco offers. And there's so much to it. There's so much more to it than many people might think. But what are the basic programs and basic services that you all offer?
There are a lot more programs than people think. We have a basic crisis line. It's open 24 hours a day. It's the oldest one in the United States. And the number is 781-0500, as you mentioned. And people who are ordinary citizens of San Francisco answer the phone. They're volunteers. They've been trained, but they are people who you might meet on the street. Mm-hmm. They're not therapists. And they help you through a crisis. They will just talk with you, listen to you. And people always say that it really, really helps if you have someone listen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're trained to do, is just listen.
And it is a crisis hotline. So suicide prevention may have been how it started years and years ago, but you actually deal with all crises.
All crises. Mm-hmm. If you think it's a crisis and it's painful for you, then it's a crisis as far as we're concerned, mm-hmm. and we'll get you through it. And we get about 200 calls a day on that line.
Wow.
And we also have an HIV line, and that line gets about 100 calls a day. We started it during the HIV epidemic, mm-hmm. and it still gets calls from all over the United States, from people who have questions about HIV or just are very emotional about what their status is, what their friends or relatives' status is, and want to talk to somebody and want that to be confidential.
And you have an HIV nightline number as well, because a lot of people have questions in the evening when they may be interacting in questionable actions.
That's right. When we opened it up, we were the only line in the United States that was open at night.
Mm.
Everybody else had a line, but it closed at 5 o'clock.
Mm.
So we opened up at 5 o'clock and went until 9 o'clock in the morning so that people on off hours could call someone, because at that time, early in the epidemic, people took pills at all hours of the day and night.
True.
They had to take them every 2 hours.
Mm.
So this was a way of supporting people when everything else was closed.
Mm-hmm.
It is still the only line in the United States that's open all night long.
Seriously.
Seriously. And we just extended it through the day as well, because it is an emotional support line,
yeah.
as well.
So you get calls from across the nation because it's the only nightline for HIV.
We get calls from across the nation. And so if somebody is in Alabama and doesn't want anybody to know what they want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
they call us,
mm-hmm.
and it's a safe place to do that.
Wow. San Francisco Suicide Prevention Organization and Crisis Hotline, HIV Nightline, HIV Text Line, a Drug Information Line, a Relapse Line, and then, of course, you're tied in to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which has gotten a lot of recognition lately because of Logic's song, which is 800-273-8255, which is a national hit, and he did a performance on the Grammys, and people are wearing T-shirts with the number. Now, with that performance and with the popularity of that song and the base subject matter of that song being so important, I've heard that the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, the phone calls that have been coming in have like tripled.
They tripled nationally at that office. They doubled on our line.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very happy about that, because those calls, those additional calls, were people who had never called before,
mm-hmm.
saw the Grammys and said, I'm going to call. This means something to me.
Mm-hmm.
or I'm going to call because I'm worried about somebody.
Okay.
And that's a very good call to get because people do want to help each other and they're not clear that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually very easy to help someone else. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows CPR. They know how to do that. And you can save somebody else's life just as easily if you know how to do suicide prevention. Mm. And there are a few simple steps that you can learn. You can help a friend as well. That can be done.
Yeah, so. I know one of the slogans that the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Organization and National Suicide Prevention Lifeline nationwide is know the signs, find the words, reach out. So if you could maybe give us a little bit first on how to know the signs, what are the words, and then to reach out would obviously to be to make that call. But how do we? What are the signs?
People have four different kinds of signs. They may say, I want to kill myself. And people sometimes just don't listen to that. They think, well, they're just joking or they want attention. Mm. And we always say it's legitimate to get attention if you're drowning. So if somebody says that, you should take it very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. Other people don't want to come out and say that they want to find out if they're meant to live or die.
Mm.
So they will throw out a hint. They will start saying, I wish I weren't alive. I'm a burden to everybody. No one will miss me if I'm dead. When I'm dead, do this or that. Mm. At my funeral, do this or that. Throw out hints that talk about dying, going away for a long time, but never actually say that they mean that they want to kill themselves. And again, people don't take that very seriously. They think that they're just joking. Another version of that is people who act out the fact that they want to die. They may change how they eat or sleep, eat a lot more, sleep a lot more, not eat, not sleep, do art projects or writing projects that are about dying. Mm. Start closing up their life, quit their jobs and their lease, give away their pets, close down things that they belong to, stop showing up at their friends' homes when they're invited, just start to disappear from everybody's vision, make out wills when they're not somebody who is in a position to make out a will.
Sure.
And for all those people, plus the people who take high risks as well, who are doing it for the same reason, they're in pain and they want to find out if they're supposed to live or die.
Mm.
For all those people, you have to do the same thing. You have to say, I see what's happening. I'm worried about it because I care about you. And I want to know if you want to die. And I want to know if you want to die by suicide because I want to help. And you can help. You can help. People are scared to help. They're scared to ask because they're scared that if they ask about suicide, they'll put the idea into somebody's head and that person will die and it'll be their fault.
Mm.
But you can't. Originally, we just told people that they couldn't, but we had to just act it out. Now there's been a substantial amount of research that shows that you absolutely cannot put the idea into somebody's head if it isn't already there.
Interesting.
So you can ask, are you thinking about suicide? I'm hearing that, and I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can intervene.
How many phone calls would you say? You said you receive about 200 a day at the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Hotline. The phone number, again, the crisis line is 415-781-0500. Eve Myers, the executive director of San Francisco Suicide Prevention, here with us on KBLX Cares. And you said you receive about 200 calls a day. How many of those would come from those in crisis themselves? Or would you say how many of those might come from somebody who's trying to help a family member?
I'd say about 1 out of 10 are people who are trying to help a family
mm-hmm.
member, worried about somebody, and we coach them through, what do you ask, what do you do? Because what you do is actually fairly simple, mm. although it's something you would never think of doing. What you do is you ask the person, do you have a plan? How are you going to do this? Before you ask them why.
Mm.
You will ask them why, but the first thing you need to know is how. Because you need to make them safe.
Mm.
You need to know how unsafe is this person. And you need to make them safer. And then, once you know they are safe, you can ask them why.
Wow. It's hard to intervene if you don't know where and when the intervention needs to happen.
Exactly.
So once you know they're safe, then you ask them why.
Then you can ask them why, mm-hmm. and you can talk to them about it. But first, you need to know how. You need to know what they're going to use. Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have access to it? Is it lethal? How fast is that thing going to act?
Well,
and do they want to do it now, or do they want to do it later on? So you need to know plan, lethal, access, now, and it spells plan. And that way you can remember it. Those four things are what you want to ask the person to find out if they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the person to get rid of it or to untie it or whatever in order to become safe, even just temporarily while talking to them.
And then you ask them why.
And then you ask them why. And even when you ask them why, you don't have to tell them that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can just say, wow.
Just listen.
That sounds painful.
Mm-hmm.
That must be hurting you.
And that's, the volunteers are trained at the suicide prevention hotline to listen more than anything. And you mentioned that the volunteers that answer the phones on the hotline are just everyday people. And they're trained by your organization. What does that training process look like?
The training process is 8 weeks of classes and also 8 weeks of practice on the lines themselves with somebody who is their mentor, who is a tutor. We go out to high schools. We have a youth program that goes out to high schools, and we teach them the same kind of looking at people, asking questions, helping each other through a crisis, not judging, not suggesting. And we also give them bracelets, those rubber bracelets.
Sure.
And on the inside of the bracelets is our phone number, where you can look it up, but other people can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've been giving those out, the number of phone calls that we've gotten from people who are under the age of 20 has gone from about 100 a year to about 1,500 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So outreach has been really, really pivotal in getting more youth calling. And the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Hotline obviously serves San Francisco, the hotline 415-781-0500, but the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, and that can be called from anywhere in the nation, and most importantly for our listeners listening now, anywhere in the Bay Area, and you'll be able to reach somebody.
It always connects you to the place closest to you, where you are right at that moment.
How can our listeners volunteer and support the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Organization and hotline?
We have a lot of people who come and volunteer with us. At any given moment, we have 150 volunteers, and we train about 100 people every year because they turn over.
Mm-hmm.
We want people who can say, in a way that gets across that they have been there.
Yeah.
Truthfully, they have been there. They don't have to describe being there, but in their voice, they can get across, yes, they know.
Yeah, I get it.
That I get it. It's painful. It's possible to go from where you are to where I am.
Mm-hmm. Would a potential volunteer call the hotline to volunteer, or would they start with your website, sfsuicide.org?
They would start with our website, but if they called the hotline, the hotline would tell them to go to the website as well.
would get directed to the right place. All right. Yeah. So KBLX family, if you are in need of a listening ear, the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Hotline crisis line is 415-781-0500. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. And the website is sfsuicide.org. We've been talking with the executive director of the San Francisco Suicide Prevention Organization, Eve Meyer. Thank you for being here this morning, Eve. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Bless you for all the work you do. Thank you. And thank you to our producer, Carlos Garibay, for bringing this story to us today. I'm Sterling James. This is KBLX Cares. If you'd like to shine the light on your organization, or if you know somebody who's doing good in the hood and you think that they deserve the spotlight, please email me, sjames@kblx.com, and in the subject line, put KBLX Cares, because we do.